All right, it's 3:15. We can start. All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining me at this WIDA session. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jen Paul. I'm an English learner and the Accessibility Assessment Specialist in the Assessment Office at MDE. I've been doing this now 10 years, so I know a few of you have known me for at least that long, so glad to see you and have you here. I'm going to go through some updates related to the WIDA assessment and then also spend a bit of time talking about what WIDA is, what it is not, maybe help some of you who are new to what WIDA actually is, give you that information so that you can go back to your districts and start doing some things now. Because if you didn't know, the summative WIDA access for ELL's assessment is, the window is open right now. Okay. So just for my own benefit, how many of you are new to WIDA? Okay. All right. So the rest of you are...
I have new students.
You got new students. Okay. All right. Okay, all right, well that's helpful. So I'll try to, you know, tailor information as much as possible today and hopefully I can get you on your way also before snow starts coming. But if you're staying, go to the reception because it's always really, really nice and not enough of everybody shows up for that. So eat, drink, hang out. All right, moving on, WIDA updates. If you weren't aware, we reopened the WIDA test exception window and the false EL window. We extended it another 2 weeks, basically, and it's now set to close this coming Friday, February 14th. I'm going to talk a little bit about WIDA test exceptions here in a little while, too, because I think that there's confusion around who that is appropriate for and who it's not appropriate for. I'm going to spend, like I said, a little bit of time talking about that. For those of you who have been monitoring your emails over the last week since Friday, there was a, or the possibility of an issue with folks auto-updating to the new Chrome operating system that was discovered by DRC last week. DRC was able, though, to work with Google to find a solution for that. So basically, what we thought was going to be an issue or a potential issue ended up not being an issue. Why do I know that? Because the update happened yesterday and no one's been calling me, telling me that they can't test, and I don't think anybody's been calling DRC. So, and also, we're not the only state testing. So if there was an issue, we would have heard about it by now, because you've got like almost 30 other states testing right now too, not just us. So it's a lot of people, a lot of computers and different systems. One new feature that is available for all of you is a downloadable screener data file that's available in WIDA AMS now. You all know that you can get access to a PDF report of your student scores. You can see that, but starting in December of this year, the previous December, 2019, you now have the option to download a screener data file at the school level. So for most of you, it's not going to be available at the district level. We're going to work on that for the following school year, but you can at least get a school level file. That'll be really helpful for you as you think about, you know, maybe trying to import that data into your student information systems. And then eventually, our hope is to work towards a process where you can upload that data into the OEAA secure site. So we're going to try to make those processes a little bit more streamlined for everybody. But right now, you can actually go out and do that. There are instructions for how to do that, I believe, in the WIDA AMS guide. Or there might be a supplement for this. I think there's a supplement. But if you go out to the WIDA AMS site and look through the available documents, you should find the directions there. Okay. If you need help finding this later, I'll point you in the right direction, okay? If you weren't aware, WIDA is working on revising their standards. They're not new standards, okay? What they're basically doing, my understanding is, since I'm not really a standards person, I'm an assessment person, but they're kind of revising a lot of the resources and making things more clear. That's really what they're doing, because it's not going to change the assessment. All right. It changes nothing about the assessment, But I do think that the things that they're going to be providing educators are really nice tools, really nice resources. They're expecting to roll out this new information this year, summer sometime. We've not been given a hard or concrete date on that, so you just kind of have to read the spotlight, read the information that the Office of Educational Supports, OES, sends out from Kelly Alvarez and Michelle Williams, if you get their emails. WEDA is also working on a new alternate access for ELL's assessment. If you're familiar with this test, this is a summative assessment for your English learners who are also students that may have or function as if they have significant cognitive disabilities. So it's not for every student with disabilities. The key word here is significant cognitive disability. The assessment that we are currently using is only available for students in grades 1 through 12, so we don't have a kindergarten form to provide to students that may need it at the at that grade level. And it's, quite frankly, it's an old assessment. It hasn't been updated, it hasn't been refreshed in a very, very long time. So WEDA was given a grant to start working on not just an assessment, but they've been working on standards to go along with that. So we will have new standards coming and a new assessment that will include kindergarten in the coming years. It's not going to happen next year, maybe not even the year after that. Okay, so we're talking a couple years out at this point in time, but it is on its way, it is happening. What that will mean for all of you is, just like with everything else, you know, with your standards and assessment stuff, like I said, you're gonna get new standards, you're gonna have to read through those, incorporate them into your instruction curriculum, you're gonna have a new assessment that you're gonna need to understand. That's gonna mean that your test administrators are gonna have to learn how to administer a new assessment. This will also, I can tell you, have some impact on entrance and exit requirements and test exceptions. Because we'll have a new assessment, we'll have to revisit, you know, how do you exit? What are the qualifications for exiting with this new assessment? What does it mean to be proficient now for these kids that are taking this assessment? Because we are intending to work on that. As a part of this, I don't think I mentioned it up here, but oh, I do have it in blue. It is going to include a screener for these students also. So right now I am screenerless other than to give all students the same WEDA screener and the same kindergarten WAPT assessment. There's no different tool that I would be able to give to these students. So that's another thing that WEDA is working on. And again, as I said, that will have implications, of course, for entrance and exit protocol. So what you need to know is there's going to be a lot of change in a couple years' time, a lot of change, right? Related to at least that part of the assessment world, okay? I saw a big sigh. So hopefully this is not terribly concerning for you. It's a couple years away, but like I said, you got to know what's coming.
So right now the screener,
one screener for all kids, no difference. And I was talking with an educator earlier today about a case that she had emailed me last week about. They have a student who is, physically violent at this point in time. And so, how do you screen a student like that? You're expected to screen a student. You have to. I mean, the federal requirements say that you have to do this. What you have to do is make an attempt. That's the key part of this, okay? You are free to end that test whenever you don't think you're going to get any more information, okay? But you need to make an attempt, whatever that attempt looks like for that particular student. That's what I want you to take away. And even if and when we do have an alternate screener, you're still going to have students who are not going to be able to take the assessment. Again, this student is an example of that. It doesn't matter what you would put in front of this student. It's not going to matter. So one of the key rules is you just need to make an attempt, do your best, score it as best as you can, and move on. Okay?
I don't know if you want questions about
no,
that
please,
right now.
Please go ahead.
But then how do you make a determination?
So in that case, if a student is not able to complete the assessment, then it's zeros in all of those domains.
So they are an EL.
They would become an EL. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean for them, right, from an assessment perspective? Okay, maybe it means that they, per the IEP team, maybe they would be taking the alternate access for ELLs, the summative alternate access for ELLs. Again, you're in the same boat of you're going to attempt to attest the student, do your best with trying, and that's all you can do. There's not a lot else that you can do in those cases. You could be eligible for a test exception in the future. Like maybe you don't even have to attempt because some of you get that opportunity. You have students for whom you request this test exception and we say, okay, that seems valid. I don't have a valid assessment. I don't have appropriate accommodations. It's, you know, this just isn't gonna work out. Okay, we'll grant an exception. So that's still a possibility into the future. I don't actually see that going away, even with a new screener. It may look a little bit different, but it's not going to go away. Does that help a little bit? Kind of?
It helps. It's not what I want to hear.
Yeah, I know. It helps, but it's not what you want to hear. I know. I mean, the reality of the situation is the law says
right.
We have to test
because
all ELs.
It's not accurate.
Yep.
I mean, that's nice to say, well, they're an EL then. Well, no, they're not necessarily an EL. It's just that we couldn't get accurate reading on the
yes.
test.
Now,
so it's defaulting to something that may not be true.
Now, what may happen in the future is, like I was saying, the entrance criteria may change. So if we're thinking about the screener, right, if they can't take the screener and they've got zeros with everything, okay, well, is our entrance criteria flexible enough that it can allow for something like that and allow you to make a decision about whether or not the student is an EL using other criteria, right? Well, what is that other criteria? I don't have anything else right now, right? So I think this will change in the future. It has to. Like I said, I've been doing this for 10 years. This has been a problem for 10 plus years. This is not a new problem. It's just I think that research and you know, the field as a whole is kind of finally catching up with the fact that we need to actually address it now, and that's where all states are, in fact. So Michigan is not behind anybody. There's everybody's kind of struggling with these same issues right now, okay, and trying to do something about it.
Thank you.
Yep. Yes.
Related to that, is there a process for documenting like the specifics about an incident where a student will not take the test, or I mean, obviously their score will show that, but is there like anywhere for like an ongoing dialogue so you're aware of it?
So the question is there an opportunity or even a requirement to actually give feedback to the state that says, this is what happened, we were not able to assess the student for whatever reason, et cetera. For the screener, there's not a formalized process in place. However, for the summative assessments for access for ELLs or the alternate access for ELLs, you would, depending on the situation, I mean, you could file an incident report if it's like some massive behavioral issue that occurred in the middle of testing, right? Or you could also, you should, during the not tested window, you could put in something like, you know, student refusal. Again, it's kind of situation specific, right? That's the only opportunity for like feedback on what happened at the time of the assessment. I would keep your own records though, right? Like,
just thinking paper trail.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I would keep your own records on this particular topic. Like, we were not able to assess the student because they were kicking, screaming, biting, they were, whatever the case may be, put that in your file so when you pull it out for next year, you're like, okay, let's apply for a test exception this year because this is what happened last year, right? Not that I'm going to approve things based off just that. You're going to have to submit some documentation along with that, but that's, you know, that's helpful for you and ultimately helpful for me, okay? Good questions. A new thing we have started implementing this year, not just for WIDA, but for MSTEP as well, actually, are what we're calling pre-administration visits. This is an opportunity for folks from my office, me, and some of my other colleagues, to come out to a district or school and help folks get organized in advance of the testing window. We did that for two schools this year for the WETA test. It was primarily based off incident reports and like missing materials from the previous years. It's like in one particular case, a school had for multiple years in a row not returned any materials. This prompted us to show up and say, seems like an organization problem here. Let's help you figure that out, right? So we worked with their folks, just to talk through everything. It's not intended to be punitive. It's really intended to be helpful for folks. And the folks that we have been doing this with seem very appreciative that we've come out to have conversations with the building principals and the folks involved. If this is something that you're ever interested in doing, like you want to volunteer to do this, right? Like, let us know, okay? Because it's something that we want to make sure we offer to folks that actually want it and need it. Here's a good example of maybe a way that you could even plan to use it, all right? Let's say you know you're going to be out on medical leave, and or someone else in the district that's supposed to be doing whatever testing coordination stuff. Have us out so that we can review stuff with everybody, make sure you've got all the pieces in place so that there's a plan for everything and that nothing falls apart when you're gone, right? That's actually a really good way to use us, actually. So we're trying to be more proactive with all of you than reactive and say, hey, you screwed up, and slap your hand, and then, you know, that's not really helpful, and you don't all like that. You know, nobody likes that, right? Another big topic that you might have heard rumblings about is what we're calling auto exits. So this is related to, it's tied inherently to our entrance and exit protocol. Right now the criteria says you've got to not just be proficient in WETA, but you got to have these other things alongside it, right? You got to be proficient in XXX, right? Whatever those X's are. That effectively means that we have had no way at the state level to even help you exit kids, okay? Because we don't know what this other criteria is. We have no idea. We're not collecting that information from all of you. What we're looking at doing is doing an auto exit, which means we're looking at changing the exit criteria. If we change the exit criteria to just be a WETA test score, that means we can work with CEPI to exit kids automatically in MSDS from EL services. That will alleviate a huge headache for all of you in a variety of ways, and for your pupil accounting people in a variety of ways. Right now, I can't tell you what the criteria is. I don't know. It has not been finalized. I can't tell you dates for when communication is formally gonna come out from the offices and from CEPI on this topic, because we're still working through those pieces. But everybody in MDE and people at CEPI have all said, yes, this is a thing that they want to have happen. And they're actively implementing, you know, the business requirements meetings, et cetera, to actually make it happen and get it to happen. Okay? So just be aware of more information on that topic coming this spring. Okay? And if you're ever, you know, really for any updates or anything, you know, if you ever think you missed some information in the spotlight and you can't find it, just send me an email and I'll tell you, okay? Quick email, I will get back to you as soon as I can, okay?
Mm-hmm. Jen, are they saying they're, I don't know if you can tell us this or not, there's a secret, you know, it's in the war room of the MDE, but are they, I love the idea of the auto exit, absolutely love it. Thank you. But I'm also afraid.
Yes.
Because whenever it seems like when I hear something like that, I get excited. Then I find out, well, we're going to do this, but then we're also going to add these two things to it. And then what seemed like a really good idea is kind of falls to dust. Are you hearing that, or is it going to be just removing the local requirements? It's only going to be on the WETA.
It would be removing the local requirements, period.
Wonderful. Yeah.
and just having an overall WIDA assessment score. There may or may not be a domain score associated with that, but it would, the primary data would be WIDA. Not to say that you couldn't still have your local criteria. You could. You could add stuff on top of what we provide. The kids are going to get exited, but there's nothing that would stop you, at least right now, our thought is there would be nothing that would stop you from re-entering students into EL services, just like as there always has been, right? You exit students from services, and then you monitor them. They become former English learners, and you're supposed to monitor them, and then you can actively put them back into services if you ever needed to. That will never change, right? So you have full control over that. In your hands as a district after that point in time. That's really all I can tell you right now.
That's great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Is that going to happen for this administration?
This is what I'm a little unclear on. The question is that going to happen for, is all this going to happen for this year, this particular school year? The intention was, yes, it would happen for this year, but we're moving into March here shortly, and I don't have a lot of details for you. So I can't tell you definitively right now if it will or won't happen by the end of the school year. I actually don't know right now. I'm still assuming yes, still hopeful, but you gotta wait and watch the communications, okay? All right. All right, let's move ahead. Okay, I'm going to spend some time talking about the WIDA test exceptions. So we're going to start with just making sure we all have a basic understanding of what the requirements say we have to do. I think we've kind of already talked about this. Most of you seem like you're veterans in this room, but we're going to go through it anyway. The federal requirements say that all EL students must be assessed annually on an English language proficiency assessment in these specific four domains, listening, reading, writing, and speaking. So when we think about our test exceptions, we know that we're going to have students that just can't do this, right? And those are the key word is they can't do it. They can't, okay? Not it's hard. They can't do it, okay? And that's what I'm going to try and focus on throughout what I'm going to talk about next. The can't exists for, you know, those kids for whom I don't have an appropriate accommodation for them. They can't do it. Example, we have a speaking domain, which requires that students speak. I have some students that can't do that. They can't. They're selective mutes. They are deaf, hard of hearing students. ASL is not an available accommodation for this assessment, okay? So, therefore, they can't do it, all right? That's an easy example, all right? The other set, big bucket of students is the kids for whom the alternate access is not appropriate. You're gonna have some students who are so significantly disabled that they can't do this. They really can't do it. Us continuing to assess them is showing nothing. So if you're familiar with the alternate access scoring, I think it's A1 is the lowest. So if you have A1s for every single domain for a couple years in a row, why are we doing this, right? That's an indicator to me that this assessment really isn't appropriate. When we think about the My Access assessments, the alternate content area assessments for students, there's three different levels, right? You've got a functional independence, supported independence, participation. I don't have that for WIDA. I got one test, right? That means that I'm missing some portion of who this is appropriate for. That's the opinion that I've come away with, knowing the content of our assessments, knowing the content of alternate access, working with our special education department, and of course our My Access folks internally at the department, we just know it's just not appropriate for some kids. So like I said, these are the two big buckets of kids that I'm most concerned with making sure that we offer a test exception for. So who it's not appropriate for, if a kid just has ADD or ADHD, a test exception is not appropriate for them. They can do it with appropriate accommodations. It's an untimed assessment. You can test them individually. I mean, there's a whole slew of things that we can do to make sure that they take the assessment. Most of those kids that have that, which tests are they taking for their continuity assessments? They should be taking MSTEP for the vast majority of those students. If they can take MSTEP, they can take the WIDA. They can. Students who have had a major medical issue. The test exception process itself is actually not designed for these students. Although you may have this happen, you have students who have had a catastrophic injury. They're in the hospital for some reason or another. You will actually do this through the students not tested window in the OEAA secure site. Okay? So if you have any students that fall into this category, we don't have access to them, they can't test, you don't apply for it in advance of the testing window, you would just list it at a medical reason as the reason why the student didn't test. Okay? That's how that process works. So this isn't a no that we can't allow for this and not have you be penalized on the accountability side. It's just a, you're not going to do it through this process. You're going to do it through a different process. Okay? In general, your kids who take MyAccess Functional Independence can take the WIDA Alternate Access for ELL's assessment. They can. They can do it. There might be some exceptions to that, but most of them can. It's on level with, you know, the types of tasks, etc. It's not going to tax them in some way from a content perspective and from a task perspective. Parent refusals. How many of you have dealt with parent refusals? Many of you have. All of you are laughing about this because it's an issue. This is not, don't apply for a test exception for a parent refusal, okay? Yes?
I want to make sure because somebody used your name with us in that meeting.
Oh.
I want to make sure.
So, I love it.
So she said she called you and contacted you. Her child hit a 26 on the...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
I remember that.
So, and 26 is not getting ones on the two ones, and then a 5 and a 6. So it has a split. But she told us that Jen Paul said.
I'm going to tell you what I told her. Okay. Also, as much I will help you with a parent if you really need me to.
Okay.
I will. Please don't send them to me though.
No, she belongs to some testing.
All right.
Standardized testing. She's a family of a parent against standardized testing.
That's good to know. I'm going to not talk to her anymore. all right. Okay, so parent in this particular situation, parent calls me upset and they want to refuse testing. Okay, so they want an opt-out form or something. Like how do we, they want to formalize this
yes.
opt-out, right?
Yes.
I don't have a way for them to, for the parent to formalize an opt-out. I don't. There's nothing that they can submit to me that says it's okay. Like, I don't care. Every kid has to test. It doesn't matter, okay? Now, what I also can't do is tell a parent what to tell their child. I can't do that, okay? I can't tell them, well, you have to tell your child to test. They can tell their kids whatever they want to tell their kid. I'm going to probably disagree with them, but they can say whatever they want. I also let her know that a district or school is expected to test all of their ELs, okay? They are. They are expected to do that. So this is a difficult, you can see how this is a difficult conversation to have with a parent because I'm trying to relay to her who has what rights on every side of this issue, right?
Yes.
So,
actually, it was a good thing with what you said. So, I'm just saying that she said that no matter what, Jen Paul said, I have to have my kid pulled out to sit in front of the computer So she said, okay, why should I? So I'm saying it was a good thing.
Good
so,
thing, great.
But she stood me up three times when she found out that I was going to be there instead of just the coach at the school. So I went there every day that she said she was going to be there to meet her. We sat with her at a beautiful conversation about this is going to happen every year, you know. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't know why Rita's a problem, but he takes the M-Step, NWA, everything else just fine. So that I found interesting.
That is interesting.
So that's what I hooked in my head, and I sort of roped her in that way.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, so, that's a good way to do it. I like that.
So, but she came in today to give him a pep talk to do his best. So.
Good.
And is there a way with exiting the students? I know that in the WIDA handbook where it says, mm-hmm. really you don't very often get, you know, exit students under the second grade, am I correct?
Correct.
But if a child like this, who the parent is really adamant and he does very well, let's say, this time, are there exceptions to the rule if they're doing?
That's a question for Kelly and Michelle, okay? And for those of you who don't know who Kelly and Michelle are, they're the part of MDE that handle kind of these, although assessment related, they're more like instructional policy EL services related questions, okay? So if you're ever wondering, like, well, what do I do with my Title III funding? You talk to Kelly and Michelle. How do I need to make sure that all my teachers are EL certified? You talk to Kelly and Michelle, okay? I can put you in touch with them, but I can't answer those policy type questions for them, okay?
Doesn't we have that issue too, where the student says, well, I can do all this stuff, but I gotta take tests. Mommy comes in and says, yeah, I agree with him or her.
Then
and they don't take the test. So doesn't that affect the school report?
Yes, it does. So there are, basically there are negative impacts, negative consequences to a building if a student chooses to not participate or, you know, just tank the test, right? There are going to be negative consequences on the accountability scorecard for the school index. There will be.
So then how, you know, when we say these 10 and parents say, hey, ain't gonna happen, what do we do?
What do you do? You have a conversation with the parents to say, listen, here are the requirements. This is not intended to be punitive. Your student really is proficient. Then they should be able to show it on the test. Then prove to me that they can do it, right? I don't have like a silver bullet for you on that. It's going to be just, you got to have conversations with the parents. You have to tell them about the ways that it impacts the school or the district. Hey, you're making us look bad if you don't, you know, let your kid take it and push to have them do this, among other things. Not that that's the main thing, but I don't have a silver bullet for you on that. And I don't have like some package of info that I can give you either to be helpful. Other than, right, and it's not call Jen Paul because she's going to tell you about it. Yes, Frances.
Sometimes when we have a parent who don't want a child assessed, a child refuses, there is a letter that they're supposed to write with an explanation of
for services. Yeah.
After we meet with the parent, say, let me say good thing for your child. Because he's going to demonstrate that he's really, he or she is proficient in the English language. So if the child takes these tests really seriously and does mm-hmm. really well,
that's right. That's exactly right. Yes.
Really? I said, yeah, because sometimes the child is so upset, they just randomly choose whatever in the test and they do poorly. And guess what? Next year, they're on the list again.
Oh, yeah, we have those parent meetings all the time about that.
All right, continuing on, we will reject exception requests if a student has been showing that they are able to be successful on the assessment. The keyword there is successful, meaning they got a decent score, right? It wasn't the best score, but they got a score that wasn't all A1s across the board. I see requests that come into me that have students that have been taking the alternate access, and the students have gotten P1s, which is, P2s, across all of the domains. Well, that's the highest level you can get, except for writing. But if you're getting a P2 overall in the alternate access, you're doing really well. That's awesome. awesome. Why am I going to exempt you from taking this test when you can show me that you're doing just fine on it, right? Even if you're getting A3s, it's still not the lowest rung. So not that I'm telling you to coach your kids to tank the test so that they can get a test exemption, right? But like I said, this is for kids who really can't take the test. They can't do it. Let's see here, other things I want to hit on. If you want, yeah, if your kids are showing kind of similar, I think I already mentioned this, if they're taking MSTEP, SAT, PSAT, you're not going to get a test exception, no. Unless maybe they're deaf, hard of hearing, or something like that. There might be some exceptions to that. But by and large, the student has a disability and they're taking these assessments, we can probably find a way to accommodate them, okay?
I have that situation. That's an area, deaf, hard of hearing.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Teacher has, it's a center-based program.
Apply for an exemption. You got till Friday.
Oh, thank you.
That's two days from now. And then if you want kids to take the alternate access, I don't need to know about it. Like, I don't need you to request an approval through the test exception process. That's not who this is for, okay? All you need to do is order the materials through Rita AMS if you need that at this point in time, okay?
Mm-hmm. In the case of a student who is very hard of hearing, they can take the speaking, the listening.
Right. Yeah, speaking and listening, I'm pretty flexible on that, although I'm starting to see cases of people, what I think, maybe abusing this a little bit, because just because you're deaf, hard of hearing doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have any hearing ability. So I want people to be careful with that, and I'm expecting that people are honest with me. I mean, I'm reading through IEPs and stuff like that, but I'm also expecting people to be honest with me about the student's abilities. Like, if it's a student who they don't have any language at all, I'm stumbling over my words here. Just be careful with who you're applying for in those situations, okay?
Do we ask for an exemption for all of those domains or just the two?
Just the two for kids in grades 1 through 12. If they're kindergartners, though, it's almost impossible to give this assessment to a deaf student if they're a kindergartner. Yeah, like I don't know how you would actually give that assessment. So, I would exempt that for all domains, actually, in that case. Okay. I could very strongly consider it. All right. I'm done with updates. Okay. I'm going to now turn my attention to WIDA basics. All right. What is WIDA? What are we doing? When we say WIDA, it means like 5 different things, right? WIDA doesn't just mean WIDA. It means a bunch of things. All right. But we're going to start with what you're supposed to do upon enrollment, okay? So upon enrollment, every single student as a part of your enrollment packet should be given what are called the home language survey questions that are state approved by our State Board of Education. They're old, but I mean, you might go out at our webpage and look and see the date on there and you're like, this can't be right. It's right. They're from like 2003 or something like that. They're really old. They're correct, which is really sad, but they're correct. They have to be in everybody's enrollment packet, not just the kids with the last name Garcia, or insert whatever last name you want, right? It's for everybody, not targeted at all. If a parent or guardian answers yes to either one of those two languages, that triggers the screener, okay? And the screener, I'm going to talk about that in a second, but that triggers the screener. This process that I just described is a federally required process. It's not, Michigan per se. It's like everybody does this. Everybody, all 50 states have a process that is incredibly similar to ours. Their survey questions may differ, and depending on the state, if they're not a WIDA state, they might be using a different test, but everybody does this. One of the big things you need to know right now is your supposed to still be screening students that enroll now, and then if they're an English learner, then you're still going to give them the summative access for ELL's assessment, okay? Remember, the screener is for identification purposes. That's all it's for. It does nothing else other than tell you if the student is an English learner or not. Once you know they're an English learner, then they're going to be taking the summative WEDA access for ELL's assessment every year until they reach proficiency, okay? Our screening tools here in Michigan are the WEDA screener, and then for kindergarten, it's just a slightly different title. It's called the kindergarten WAPT. Well, that's what I call it, the WAPT, other people call it WAPT. I don't like to say that because it sounds very violent. So I prefer say all of the letters. All right. Are we clear on that? Okay. All right. Gives you a little bit of a breakdown. So you screen the kids. So home language survey. You don't know if they're an English learner or not. Do not put them into MSDS and do not have your pupil accounting person consider them as an English learner until after you've actually given them the screener. Why? Does anybody know why?
Yeah, because then they have to take the WEDA.
That's right, because then they have to take the WEDA. We don't want kids taking tests that shouldn't be taking tests. That's a no-no. I love tests, but I don't want everybody to take them just for fun, right? So you screen them, you're going to get a score. How do you know what it means? You have to go use this document here, the entrance and exit protocol document. That's what it's called, the entrance and exit protocol. That will tell you what the criteria is for who's in and who's out of EL services. You make a list of who meets the criteria, which kids do, which kids don't. You give that list to your pupil accounting person and say, make sure that these students are identified as an English learner. We do put reminders about the identification in MSDS in the spotlight, so just make sure that you're, you know, anything that says WEDA, you take a look at. Anything that says English learner, take a look at it in the spotlight. Already covered this part of the law, so we've got the screener that's federally required. Our summative assessment is also federally required, and we've got the two summative assessments for that purpose, the WEDA access for ELLs, and then that alternate access for ELLs assessment for our students with the significant cognitive disabilities, okay? And just remember, I don't tell you who takes this test, you decide who takes this test, okay? All of these tests that I've just talked about, all four of them, the two screeners, the two summative access tests, they assess students in all of those four domains. The kindergarten WAPT is a paper-pencil test. It's beautiful. It's an absolutely beautiful assessment, as far as assessments go. It's like a board game. It's interactive. It's totally developmentally appropriate. It's one of the nicest large-scale assessment tools I think probably exist, actually. I mean, really, when I think about all of the tests that are out there for state tests, this one is quite nice, actually. The alternate access for ELLs is a paper-pencil assessment right now. I can't tell you what they're thinking about for the future of that assessment, since, as I mentioned, they're going to be shifting things and changing it. But right now, it's a paper-based test. For the summative access for ELLs assessment, all of your students in grades 1 through 3 are actually handwriting their responses for that test. They actually have to handwrite their responses, which is good, right? For most of those kids at that grade level, at those grade levels, that's completely appropriate for them. So just know that if you need booklets now, if you've got kids coming in now, you don't have enough materials, you didn't get enough with an initial material shipment, or perhaps you didn't get an initial material order shipment, you're gonna make sure that you order writing test booklets. We can talk about this later, okay? Once you screen kids and you figure it out, then call me and we'll talk through what materials you need to order, okay? Are there accommodations? Yes, there are accommodations. It's a little bit different though for WEDA than it is for the MSTEP assessment. So if you were in the workshop yesterday, was anybody here for the workshop yesterday? A couple people were. So there's three tiers for MSTEP assessments. You've got universal tools, designated supports, accommodations. For WIDA, you only have universal tools and accommodations. There's no middle ground, okay? So any kid that needs anything in this category of accommodations, if they're getting it, it's because they have an IEP or 504 plan, and the need for that thing is outlined in their IEP or 504 plan. This gets, these are very enticing for the WIDA assessment, the accommodations are. Because when you look in WIDA's accessibility supplement, you're gonna see things like repeat item audio. That sounds great. I want that for all my ELs, right? Why can't they all have that? They can't. Just for your students with disabilities that actually need it, okay? Be careful assigning the accommodations also, because this is something that we're monitoring at the state level. So we don't just monitor for MSTEP usage of designated supports and accommodations. We are also now monitoring our WIDA assessment. So if you enable a bunch of accommodations for kids that don't have IEPs and 504 plans, you're probably going to get a phone call or a nice letter from my colleague Jessica Fenby, our test security specialist. Did anybody get a letter last year for any of the assessments about that? Okay, good. That's the right answer. You don't want to have that happen. It's a very nice letter, but you don't want to get on our list.
Jen?
Yes.
But we're trying to decide for the assigned accommodations for students. The test is untimed.
It's untimed, yes. The test is an untimed test.
There's a feature that says extended time. But that's a given.
Extended speaking time. Extended time for speaking. So the speaking domain requires that students speak into a microphone to record a response. There's a finite period of time that students are provided to actually speak their response into the computer, okay? So if you enable that accommodation, you're enabling that because maybe the student has a slow speech pattern, right? They need extra processing time to actually say something orally, right? There's gonna be particular reasons why you would wanna enable that for a particular student, but I believe it's just for the speaking domain. Has to be, that's an accommodation with a capital A. Yep. Yes, just as a note for the screener, I know I'm backing up, but for the screener, actually I might have a slide on this. I'm not gonna back up, I'm gonna keep going. Okay, what are your responsibilities as a test coordinator? You're gonna be the point person for all the communication related to WIDA. You're gonna ensure that staff are trained and have appropriate WIDA certificates. You're gonna make sure that everybody's got the materials that they need and that they get the reports when they're available. You'll apply for WIDA test exceptions if need be. You gotta make sure everybody's got appropriate accounts. I think I've got a slide on that in a second here too, because there are a number of accounts. It gets really confusing to manage. And you know, you're just gonna have to work with your staff on pupil accounting issues, technology issues, et cetera. Really, those are the two biggest issues. Technology, pupil accounting, those are your two. Become best friends with those two people. Because that helps you make sure that your proficient kids are actually exited if you're friends with your pupil accounting person. Yeah, Francis.
I have a question. Would you think implementing the online enrollment for parents of unenrolled children?
Okay.
So one of the big issues that we're having is that students who are returning or they are transferring from another district to our district, and from the other district, the student was an EL. Now the student comes to us and the parent enrolls as English English. So we don't pull that child as an EL.
There.
If I go to the pre-IB and I enroll in two, then I find that a student was EL last year, still not proficient in English, why is it now English English?
Your pupil accounting person should be able to tell you at the beginning of a school year when a student is enrolling at fall collection time, whether or not, particularly at fall collection time, you should know who's an English learner and who's not, because they're gonna get warnings in the system. They're gonna get something's gonna happen, and the students are gonna get flagged so that they know that they need to look at that student for EL services. That they're gonna have that happen. So the pupil accounting person is ignoring that, or they've got it set up to like automate somehow so that it's, you know, they're not even paying attention to that, that's even happening. But you should know well in advance of pre-ID opening, you know, December 11th or thereabouts, who's an EL and who's not. We may need to talk offline on maybe what you can do to enhance your processes or enhance your enrollment system. I'm happy to do whatever I can to help with those conversations on your side, okay? Because, yeah, it's usually when people tell me I don't know that they're an English learner or not at the beginning of the school year, it's because you have a bad process upon enrollment. And that's usually due to the pupil accounting staff. Not to throw them under the bus, and I realize it's difficult what they're doing, but if you need to know who's an English learner or not, then they need to help you do that. They need to help you do your job, right? And they can, because they're getting the information, right? Yeah. Yeah, we can talk about what's actually happening with that process, okay? All right. Okay, your to-do list, sign up for the spotlight. You've probably heard this from a couple other people. All right, you're gonna have three different logins that you need. I think everybody probably knows that. The vast majority of you know this. You're gonna need what's called a WIDA Secure Portal account. This account gets you training, which is required to administer and score these assessments. Because which assessments are you scoring? Does anybody know? Yep, you're scoring, let's start with the screener, okay? So you're gonna score which parts of the screener test, even if they're taking it online? Speaking and writing. So the computer scores listening and reading, but somebody at the local level has to score speaking and writing, okay? Now, moving to the summative tests, if we start with WIDA Access for ELLs, if students are taking the online test, nobody scores anything. It all gets shipped off to DRC. DRC, thanks Bree, does all of it. DRC does all of that for us. However, if you're administering the paper, summative access for ELLs assessment, like all four domains on paper, you're scoring the speaking domain, okay? Because it's one-on-one with a student in person, you're gonna score it. You gotta take a quiz for that. If you're administering the kindergarten access for ELLs, you're scoring that yourself too. That's a one-on-one assessment. It's very dynamic, so things are gonna change and happen based on how the student's responding or not responding, so you have to score that. And then the alternate access for ELLs is scored by the test administrator also, okay? Okay, so you gotta go through all that training. That training can be found in those quizzes for certification can be found in the WIDA Secure Portal. You also need a OEAA Secure Site account. This is gonna get you access to be able to do things like input your WIDA screener scores. And if you didn't know, you're supposed to be inputting those into the Secure Site, you're supposed to be putting those into the Secure Site. It'll let you do that. It's also your kind of your test registration site. So if students are testing online, it's very much like the MSTEP. You have to put your students into the online testing system that they're going to be testing in. The way you do that for the summative access for ELL's test is by putting them into the secure site. Okay, they've got to be there. Whether we pre-ID'd them or you pre-ID'd them, you start here, and then DRC loads them into their system. And then you can print test tickets. And you can print test tickets in WIDA AMS. This is the site through which you're gonna do things like assign accommodations, print your test tickets, view your assessment reports when they're available, OK? Okay. You will have a different login for each of these accounts. I'm sorry, it's how it is, okay? But you need to know you need three accounts and you need a different login for each of those. For our new person, I'm sorry, I'm calling you out, but if you go out to the Michigan.gov/WIDA page, and if you go to the assessment coordinator training guide at the top, the circle that's at the top, pull out and print anything that says WIDA on it, okay? And start going through that stuff.
I feel like, just so you guys know, I've never administered before, my principal, the elementary principal just emailed me this morning, hey, four students are enrolling tomorrow who need a WIDA. So I've never done it before, so it's time to work out.
Yep, so we're giving her a little bit of a crash course.
I apologize that she keeps staring at me and picking up time in your session. And you're all experienced.
It's okay because you're gonna have it's possible you're gonna have all of these issues and more come up. Yeah. So maybe if you have heard something and it sticks with you, it'll be helpful. Mm-hmm. But if you walk away with nothing else, my mantra is, who are you gonna call? Jen Paul. Me. That's really all you need to remember, okay? All right. Oh, I had some arrows. Okay. Oh, I guess I had a whole slide on this. All right. We've talked about a lot of this, but you need to find out, I'm going to skip this slide. Let's talk about your dates. A lot of these have already passed, with the exception of the extended WIDA test exception date that closes this Friday. Our testing window ends March 20th for the summative WIDA access for ELL's test. Your screener window is always open. Never opens, closes. I mean, mostly. There's some there's cycles, if you will, for the screener, but it's always open, okay? The other thing all of you need to be aware of is that WIDA testing doesn't just stop once. Your responsibilities as a coordinator, rather, don't just stop once the testing window has ended, okay? There are these other things that are post-testing validation windows that are going to happen in the OEAA secure site. These are going to be things like the students not tested window. Do you have any kids who didn't test for a medical reason, didn't test because they were in juvie, didn't test because they were absent for, whatever reason? You've got to tell us about all of those cases. If you have students' demographic information that needs to be updated, let's say student's name was spelled wrong previously and you caught it and you want your reports to be correct, you got to make sure that that gets updated as well. If you also will need to check to make sure that we received a valid test for a student. That's another thing. It's very possible, not likely, but it is possible, and it does happen from time to time, that there's a data issue somewhere. Or if a student took a paper pencil test and we didn't get the writing booklet for whatever reason, we want to reflect that back to you and show you, hey, we didn't get a writing booklet. And you could say, nope, I tested that student. And we can then work with DRC to find that booklet. You've got to do that, things like that, during the windows of time in which we give you those activities to do. Because if you tell me in September that you tested a kid and you want us to go look for the booklet, we can't do it. It's not possible. It's not going to happen. So that's why we give you these windows of time to do these things. I know it's hairy because these things are going to happen in April and May when you're doing MSTEP testing, when you're doing other things, right? It's getting towards the end of the year, but you need to make sure that you do them. If you didn't know, the only thing I want to point out on here is that we have a Braille form of the assessment for students in grades 3 through 12. WIDA makes the Braille version available in grades 1 through 2, but I have made the decision in Michigan to say we're not going to administer that assessment to kids in grades 1 and 2 because they're not going to be proficient in Braille anyway at that point in time. It doesn't make any sense. So I would approve a test exception for kids in those grade levels. But there is an enlarged print version of the summative access for ELL's assessment, okay? Skip the rest of this. skip that. Oh, we talked about these things. WIDA reports. How much time do I have? 4:15. Okay. We have screener reports. Got a couple different places where you would find screener reports. One is in WIDA AMS, where you can print the individual student reports. It's like one page at a time, right? There's no roster of information. It's just one individual PDF at a time. However, if you have taken the time to put the screener scores into the secure site, then you can actually get kind of a more aggregated view of all of that screener data. It's going to give you like a whole grade level of kids and what their scores were, right? So it's an easier view. But again, that means if you want that kind of thing, then right now that means that you had to enter the scores into the secure site for the screener, okay? The summative access for ELL scores are going to be found in a couple places also. You can view reports in WIDA AMS when they're available. They're usually available in mid to late June. We'll ship those to you in August. We did August for the first time last year because by the time we would ship them, it would have been July, and everybody's gone in July for the most part in the district, so we just said, let's wait and ship in August. Nobody complained. So if you have a problem with that, speak now or forever hold your peace because they're going to go in August again this year. Thumbs up? Okay. All right. You also have the opportunity in, again, either late June, early July, you'll have access to a downloadable student data file in the OEAA secure site. So if you want an easy way to filter kids by their WIDA scores, this is a great way to do it. It's super easy. If you need help with using Excel, call me. I can help walk you through that, okay? Also, is anybody in MyLearn district in here? If you're not, start asking questions about MyLearn. Let me tell you what this is. MyLearn is a reporting system that will interface directly with your student information system. What this means is it bypasses the need to do an SRM in MSDS. If I'm speaking Greek, I'm going to try and slow it down for you, okay? Right now, if you want test scores for kids that have transferred into your district from another district, you can't see them until someone claims them in MSDS through what's called an SRM, okay, or through fall collection. MyLearn bypasses that, totally bypasses that, which is awesome. It's really cool, actually. So for those of you who get newcomers in the fall, new kids in the fall to your district, and you're like, well, I know that, I'm pretty sure that they've taken WIDA. I'd like to see their scores, but I can't because I can't see them in the OEAA secure site yet because an SRM hasn't been done. If you're a part of MyLearn, you never have to worry about that. Very nice. So if you have MyLearn, you have access to all of your kids, your current students, WIDA access for ELL scores, as well as the alternate access for ELL scores. Your tech people and your district, somebody at the district level has to sign on to be a part of the data hubs. And then once they're a part of the data hubs, they have the option to join MyLearn, okay? So just start asking some questions in your district about that if you're interested in it. All right, I'm gonna skip some of this stuff. Okay. If you don't already have it, make sure you get these two documents, the checklist for the summative WIDA access for ELLs test and the Michigan-specific test administration manual. Why? The Michigan-specific checklist is incredibly important because WIDA is an assessment used by 39 states and territories. That means that the documentation that WIDA provides you, that's directly from WIDA or is directly from DRC at times, is going to be general to all of those 39 different places. It doesn't include information like, go out to the secure site. Why? Because the secure site's Michigan's product. Nobody else uses it. So it's not going to be in that documentation. These documents, though, are going to tell you where those points of difference are. Like, despite, it's going to, for example, tell you, despite the fact that the WIDA AMS user guide tells you that you can add users directly into WIDA AMS, you have to go out to the OEAA secure site and do it. It will tell you things like that. And the only way you know things like that is if you read this document and have access to it, okay? Okay. Yeah, we're going to call Jim Paul. Great. Okay. I wanted to give Bree an opportunity to give us an update, though, on tested numbers.
So I think it was a little over 123 tests taken, 123,000 tests taken, and about 14,200 students had completed all four domains.
What was the last number again?
14,200 students.
14,200
students. Completed all four domains.
That's great. Okay. That's a pretty good percentage.
For 2 weeks.
2 weeks in, yeah. I think what our test security specialist has also been telling me is that it seems like most districts are testing kids as early as possible in the testing window, which is great. Please continue to do that just because of snow days, issues in the building, people getting sick, coronavirus, whatever it may be, right? You never know what's going to happen. You want to try and get as much done as possible. Within the earliest part of the 7 week window, so that you can avoid problems. With that said, if you think you're going to have a problem, you have to call me. You gotta let me know, okay? You just gotta call me and let me know what's going on, or I can't help you at all. DRC's call center is really good, so when you run into problems, like especially tech problems, or you don't know how to use WIDA AMS for something, call DRC's hotline. I can only help you with so much of those types of systems issues because I don't have the same level of access and can't see what you see all the time. Okay? Just keep that in mind too. I'm always here to help, but no, sometimes I'm just going to have to send you back to DRC or back to somebody else to help you out. Okay? I will always get you where you need to go though. Do we have any remaining questions? Any topics I can go over with folks? Yes?
I looked for that assessment coordinator find.
I think I got rid of it.
Okay.
It's gone now. We've replaced it. I've attempted to replace it with appropriate chapters in the assessment coordinator training guide. Okay. So if I say look for the primer somewhere in a document, let me know where because it doesn't exist anymore. Okay, all right. Yeah. I changed that this year because the assessment coordinator training guide is supposed to be for all of the assessments. Like it's a go-to place for everything under the sun for all the state tests. I don't want to have conflicting places where people are getting the information that they need, right? So I got rid of the primers. Yes.
The question, there was mention of a new kindergarten screener being worked on.
There is a new kindergarten screener being worked on. A couple districts, I think like two, maybe even one, piloted the new screener in Michigan. I've not been given any feedback. I've not been given any formal feedback from WIDA about how it went. The informal feedback I have from the districts is they liked it, it went well, it takes a lot of time. But they like it, but it takes a lot of time. That's the feedback I have right now. Okay. Other burning questions I can answer right now? Okay, yes.
Can you talk about a little bit about the scoring of the speaking portion? The students of mine that had like a 6 in reading, 6 in listening, had lower speaking scores, and it was bringing their overall composite down.
Speaking, the concern is about speaking scores. The students are scoring really well in other domains, not scoring well at all in speaking. This is a trend in Michigan. I believe it's also a trend across the consortium too. It's not just Michigan. I think, and I know WIDA has been doing some research in this area to try and figure out like why is that happening? The things that they've been investigating have been things like, you know, is it the item types themselves, right? This is a very performance-based assessment. Students may not be comfortable speaking into a microphone. This might be the first time that they're doing that. There's less interaction with the computer than there is in a face-to-face type of interaction. So it's less conversational and more performance-based, which is an unusual thing to kind of ask students to do. It's just unique in that way, I guess. So they're looking at those things. It doesn't seem to be an issue with like scoring per se, because DRC's scoring processes are actually, it's a very robust process, and I don't think that there's any quality concerns with the way it's being scored. My theory, personal theory, is this is a result of the item types, actually. I actually think it has everything to do with the actual item types. What we're actually asking the students to do, I think may not be a great way to assess speaking. I'm not sure it really gets at what we want to know students can do. That's just my personal opinion. Now, I have no real pull or say into the item types or those types of things, so this is, this is my personal opinion, right?
I see the same thing. My kids are so shy when it comes to speaking into the microphones, and like, it's hard for them.
It is. It's difficult. It is. It's just difficult. Mm-hmm. So, I don't have a lot of other good insight for you on that. Bree, do you have any other notes on that or thoughts?
Do they put out practice stuff?
WIDA
so
has.
They are able to do practice the speaking?
Yep, they can practice the speaking. And I think that the practice is actually available all year long, too. So people could start doing a little bit of practice at the beginning of the year. I know that doesn't sound awesome at all, in fact. If there's a way that you can build it into a lesson, right, maybe do that. I would try and do that, actually, as opposed to just a one-off, we're going to practice for the test. That sounds terrible. I don't like telling people to do that.
But I know that we did go over just the scoring of the speaking this past summer and made a couple of adjustments into how things, especially with like the white noise, giving that more of a longer time period to get past that before just saying, oh, there's no response. So that was evaluated this summer, and I know a couple of minor things were updated for that. But.
So are there like any changes being considered to the item types?
That I don't know. I could definitely follow up on it and let Jen know. I can go back to check the director of the WIDA team at DRC because she works directly with the WIDA crew. But yeah, I don't know if they're making any updates to the actual items.
I'm not aware of anything right now either. So we'll just keep tabs on it, do your best, encourage your kids, do practice. Not a great answer, I'm sorry. Other questions, concerns? Other than the weather and the traffic, they're coming. Okay. All right, folks.
Thank you.
Let me know when you have questions. Enjoy the rest of the conference. Thank you, everybody.